Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong?
Benediction right there. That was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to The Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church, and we are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and I am here, as always, with my man with a plan, Jack Barry, the captain.
I see what you did there.
You see what I did there?
Yeah.
I like that. I try to shake it up. Yeah. Try to do something a little different each time, you know. Want to make sure that people know you're appreciated.
For those of you who don't know, the man with the plan goes back to Captain America. Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah. For all you unnerdeth people out
yes.
there.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
Oh my gosh.
Jack, I am amongst crates and boxes books. Of books. I have a library that I am currently unpacking, and with the schedule that I keep, it's taking a little longer than normal. So it means that I have boxes of books around me, which is, you know, it's not as nice as it sounds. I know for some people, they'd be like, oh, I wish I could just sit in a room surrounded by books. And, you know, that's nice when they're like all on the shelf where they're supposed to be.
Yeah, seriously.
But when they're in boxes and they're on your to-do list, it's not as nice as it sounds.
Yeah.
And that's where things are at right now.
Yeah.
So pray for a brother.
Yeah.
Jack, we poked the bear last week, man. We poked the bear.
I guess so. I don't know what came out of that.
Mostly good stuff, honestly.
Okay.
I mean you always have, you know, people that kind of, no matter, you know, there's certain topics that no matter what you say about it or how you talk about it, someone's going to find something to disagree with, right?
Yeah, sure.
Not much you can do with those types of people, you know. Yeah. Either way, they're going to be unhappy, right? But for the most part, I think, you know, the reviews were that the MacArthur Ep was handled with care. So even if you, again, you know, and the cool thing about eps like that is that even within that ep, there are things there that Jack and I disagree on.
Yeah.
But we can still have conversation, right? And I feel like in the world of social media, my friend, the small disagreements that you and I would have on, like, how to treat mental health stuff, you can't have them.
No.
Like, it would literally, it would end with me, one of us calling the other person a heretic, anathema,
yep.
And then blasting them on social media. Do you know what I'm saying? That's just kind of where it's at.
Yeah. Yeah. Gosh. I think it's interesting that we can display civility to a world that really doesn't like, I think, has become unhinged with civility.
Yeah. So yeah. Yeah. Hey. Well, I think a lot of that has to do with, too, spoiler alert, what we're going to talk about today, who you follow.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Who you going to follow, which I think is that a White Cross song? I'm going back to, hold on.
I'm going back to my Christian 80s. Yes, it is. Who Will You Follow by White Cross. Dude, that song is such a banger, dude. You know what? I might end this ep with that song. Who will you follow, Jesus or the Father of Lies? Dude, that guy had a voice on him. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm getting ahead. Jack, we have business to take care of.
Yes, we do.
You have to hit us with that reformatory cigar of the week. What do you got for us, my friend?
Yes. So we have been doing May is for Mystery.
Mystery.
Kind of giving us that 90s Airheads vibes, mm-hmm. You know, when you picked up the pack of Airheads from your local convenience store when you were in the 90s as a kid, and you cracked it open, and you get flavors, and you get the white one.
It's the white one,
mystery
dude.
Flavor,
the unicorn
flavor.
We
wanted to do this one because really... I've said this time and time again. The fact of the matter is, you don't get good boutique cigar brands that are all named M. So I just picked cigars that had M as their beginning and the name of them. And I started to kind of curate them and stuff. This one, okay, not going to lie, people. This one is a little bit bougie. Okay. This one is by Dunbarton Tobacco and Trust. Again, I think this is the second cigar on their list. It's called the Maestra de Saca Krakatoa. Quite the name, okay?
Quite the name.
It comes in a wooden box. Like, I'm not joking. Like, it comes in its own little wooden box, okay? Own little coffin for you. Maestra de Saca is a line that Steve Saca, the founder of Dunbarton Tobacco and Trust, he's done for the last since 2017. And this is going to be so this cigar, right? This cigar was it's a 6x48, so it's a 6 inches by 48 ring gauge. So trying to gauge it too. It could be kind of like within that line of like a Lancero-ish kind of something along those lines. But it's a Nicaraguan. So it's made in Nicaragua. Okay. No spoilers there. The wrapper is Ecuadorian Habano.
Okay.
The fillers, there's multiple. There's broadleaf, Corojo, and what we call Corillo in there as well, too. All from Nicaragua, though. Yeah. So you have Nicaraguan kind of puro as far as binder and filler goes with the Ecuadorian Habano wrapper.
Okay.
That's the Vitola, sorry. Corona Gorda. Excuse me. Corona Gorda. So it's kind of within that line. I looked at Half Wheel. This is one of the rare events, folks. If you go on Half Wheel, Half Wheel is like the bougiest cigar rating site ever for like for a small batch and also for boutique cigars. This one got a 92 on Half Wheel, which is like that's pretty special, to be quite honest. Mm-hmm. The flavors that are going to be in your first third, but that'll come up like quite frequently in the cigar.
Yeah.
Are gonna be some cedar. Some dude, these flavors sometimes get me. Some salted peanuts. So what they're telling us is you wanna watch this when you're watching like a baseball game or something like that, you know?
That's right.
Have some peanuts, smoke the cigar. Cinnamon and rich dark chocolate. So
there we go. I love it.
The interesting stuff. Anyway, the construction was real. Like, there's been reviews that say construction really good, stuff like that. Okay, I say that it's bougie because the price point is usually not our standard price point. But you know what? A brother got to pull out a cigar that has some decent reviews, has some good lineups. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Josh, take your stab. This is probably one of the most expensive cigars that I've put out there to our fans.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go.
It's not breaking the bank too badly.
Okay.
But it's,
I'm gonna shoot instead of going for a range. I'm gonna shoot a dart.
Okay.
And I'm gonna go $21.
Very close, sir.
Really?
You are off by a quarter.
Dude. Are you serious? $21.25?
$20.75.
Dude, that might be close for me.
Anywhere from 19 to 21 is a range for MSRP, but $20.75 is like right on the dot of what they say.
I'll take it as a win. I'll take it as a win.
Yeah.
I know what I'm doing, people. I'm a professional.
Anyway, this is the Maestro de Saca Krakatoa. Corona Gorda.
Krakatoa.
Corona Gorda. Yeah. And it's...
release the Krakatoa.
Yeah. Seriously. Yeah. Not the Krakatoa. I love it. But the Krakatoa. Anyway.
All right.
There you go, folks.
Well, Jack, well done as always. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the Reformatory Cigar of the Week, and you know what to do. Go and smoke to the glory of God. All right, Jack. So, okay, I got to set the stage here because people, this is something you need to know about Jack, okay? And this is, my wife has picked up on this too, which is so funny. Gosh. Lauren talks about this. She goes, Jack, this is what our audience needs to know. Jack sends legendary Marco Polos.
Long.
Legendary. And what I mean by that is that they are like the Odyssey. Like, it is like a Greek mythic epic.
Oh my gosh.
When Jack sends a Marco Polo. This has happened to me before. Okay. Yeah. I have seen the notification that Jack is. It says Jax is talking on Marco Polo. He's sending you a Marco. I'm like, and I can't get to it at that moment. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to put that down. Come back to it like 8 to 10 minutes later. I click on the notification. It still says live, which means Jack is still talking.
Yeah.
And I received one of these last night, and I love it. I think it's awesome because I'll just put it on in the car and I'll just be like, all right, I'm just with Jack today. But Jack sent me one of these legendary Marcos yesterday with about 4 to 5 different topics that he wants to cover for the Reformatory. So the next couple eps are probably just going to be
Jack-driven eps.
So. Jack's just his musings. All right? But Jack, you had a topic that you wanted to kind of suss out you know, via conversation today. So I'm going to throw it over to you first. Take the helm, take the wheel, my friend, and please guide us.
I was ranting on Marco Polo to Josh the other day, and I had saw an article usually when I pull up Google, it'll give me like articles and stuff like that, right? And one of them was through what we've been seeing lately, where it's like you have, you know, with the whole Gaza Israel thing, right? We're not really going to talk about that. We're going to talk about something related to it, but not that specifically. But there was a counter protest to the protest in which I think there was pro-Israel counter protest at the University of Washington.
Yeah.
And so what they were doing is basically supporting Israel there and stuff like that. And they said, oh, well, you know, this protest was led by this pastor. Mind you, this is a Sunday, folks.
Mm-hmm.
And come to figure out, this pastor, his name's Russell Johnson. He's a pastor of a mega church within the Northwest. I guess it's a mega church. It feels that way every time I see promo stuff for them. Very prosperity gospel kind of laced. Also, when Josh was living in Everett, they had an event that he had Benny Hinn. Was it Easter?
Yeah. So this is the Pursuit Church.
Yeah.
It's a very large church in, I think they have multiple campuses. I think they have one. Yeah, they have them in Kirkland, Seattle, and then one popped up in Snohomish. And this was the church that on Easter Sunday at the Everett Event Center had the Benny Hinn, come and do a couple. Sweet, like they had a big Easter service with Benny Hinn. So that gives, I believe, enough information to determine kind of where this guy's at theologically. Yeah. So So, Benny Hinn for Easter.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So why I say all this, right, is because mm-hmm. we live in an era where people, like, you're going to get divided into camps a lot of the times.
Right.
If you support something, you're going to get divided in one camp. If you support another thing, if you don't like something, you're going to get thrown in another kind of camp. And then algorithms are going to shoot at you through social media because you either support or deny that certain position, whether it be politics or anything like that. And there are going to be people in your camp. So let's say you are pro-Israel, right? And first of all, the last thing that you should be doing is counter-protesting on the Lord's Day. Let's get that out of the way, okay? Let's talk about the fact that, you know, you should probably take a poll right there and say, you know, I'm not going to exercise my rights in this way because it's the Lord's Day. Okay, like,
yeah,
that's probably the last thing that you should be doing on the Lord's Day is like counter protesting folks who are setting up tents on the University of Washington campus for Gaza.
Okay? Yeah, well, and that's not just protesting. Like, yeah, you should be on the Lord's Day. You should be
with your people.
With your people.
Yeah.
Celebrating the Lord's Day, worshiping the Lord, right? That is what the Lord's Day is for. So,
yes. So there's, so part of it is that. The other part of it is just when you start tying yourself, and I think this is kind of like the, you know, beware of what you kind of tie yourself to or who you follow in this sense.
Yeah.
Because you could have guys that technically are on the same team or same spectrum as you, but they are following a big time heresy. Okay.
Right.
And this is where you get in trouble sometimes. And this is sometimes also where we get in trouble, where, you know, our current kind of culture of tribalism comes into play, to where, you know, if you put yourself in a certain camp of thinking or something along those lines, you're going to find yourself with company that is probably, first of all, not believers. Second of all, maybe leaning in some very clear heresy ways. So
right.
Part of this was just to suss it out via conversation, and for Josh and I, instead of doing a 50 to an hour minute episode, have more like a conversation, yeah, and basically say what is our best practice going forward when we are in agreement or declining a certain position. What should we do in order that we're not, at the end of the day, we're not in the same pen as guys who are just completely off the rails as far as theologically goes? So,
yeah. Well, and it's a really good question. And it's something that I think everyone's going to have a different answer on, right? And we've talked about it before, but I think there's this growing mentality within Christendom that, because of the state of politics in America, because of kind of the us and them mentality that is being, I would say, propagated definitely by the media, definitely by social media, the news networks, everything is trying to pull you to their side. Everything is trying to create sides, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it be Democrats and Republicans or Coke and Pepsi, right? Everyone is going to have a side. And if you're, whatever side you're on, you're supposed to hate the other side, right?
But let's be honest.
Pepsi's Coke, disgusting.
Yes, Pepsi is disgusting. Let's be honest here, people. Coke is the superior cola, okay? Let's be honest about this, though.
I am an advocate of Coke supremacy, yes.
Oh, man.
That Coke Zero Cherry is something else, dude. No, okay, anyway, all jokes aside, right? Because this is true, we have individuals that are advocating for the old adage, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, right? Which works in war. It works in World War II, right? When we paired up with the Russians, right? Yep. There are times when that happens. We have discussed that mentality on the podcast before, and I'm still an advocate that does not apply when it comes to the local church and when it comes to Christianity. Mm. Because I believe in the exclusivity of Christianity, right? I believe in its exclusive truth. I believe in its exclusive validity and its exclusive ability to save. There's no other religion or ideology that I believe will accomplish what Christianity accomplishes, what the gospel accomplishes,
yeah,
right? So you have individuals today that are on the front lines of the culture war, which is a popular phrase that has kind of popped up over the last couple of years, that are advocating that just because so-and-so agrees with you politically here, we should lock arms with them. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, we disregard or choose to disregard the obvious theological issues that are there, right? For example, you have individuals who are calling and encouraging and advocating that Christians lock arms with Mark Driscoll because of, and I know here he is again, right? But he's an easy example. Lock arms with Mark Driscoll because politically he's very conservative, he's very outspoken, and he's not scared to say things that rile people up. Now, there's a lot of reasons for that, right?
Yeah.
But they will overlook, just like we saw at this big conference, right? They will overlook his disqualification from ministry as deemed by his elders when he ran from church discipline and did not submit to his elders and planted a church instead. They will overlook the numerous documented and proven instances of tyrannical leadership, abusive leadership, all of the issues that we've talked about with Risky Drisky on this podcast. They will overlook those and lock arms anyway because they agree with him politically on woke stuff, right?
Yeah.
That's the mentality, is, and it's a result, in my opinion, and again, I think this is part of the conversation, it's a result of us losing sight of the real battlefield. And that we as a church, and there's a reason Paul warns against this, we as a church have a tendency, a great tendency, to get distracted with civilian affairs. All right? And good things and things that we should do because it, like, you know, like voting responsibly and, you know, doing, you know, seeking the good of our community, all of these good things that we should be doing as Christians, I think, right? They can rise to that level when we place them at that level, when we give them the space in our heads and the space in our lives, and now the space in our churches, mm-hmm, right? We are getting distracted as a church, and that's the result, is political ideologies become the thing to lock arms on instead of the gospel, because there's hope in politics for many people. They think that it's going to be politics that turn the world around, that if we can just get conservative president and leadership, Republicans in the House, right, all these things. Here's the thing, not a popular opinion, I understand. The Republicans, just not too long ago, had the House, the Senate, and the presidency. They didn't do jack squat.
Yep.
Okay. All this big talk about being pro-life and, you know, getting, you know, rid of abortion and things like that, you know, things that I want as a Christian, right? I'm not convinced any real politicians in power right now really want to do that, right? Again, that's a separate conversation.
Yeah.
But I don't have hope in politics because I've seen it fail again and again and again. And I think it's full of primarily a bunch of liars and people that are there to make a paycheck. My hope isn't in that. And because of that, my hope doesn't lie in, can we just get the right political people in power and then everything's going to turn around and we're going to go back to being a Christian nation. Folks, that's what the gospel does.
Yeah.
That's what the gospel does. And guess what? The gospel, under pressure and under persecution, it catches like wildfire. Mm-hmm. That's what persecution does. Now, am I advocating or do I want persecution? No, no, I'm not advocating for persecution. But we have such an aversion to it in the West because we hate discomfort, right?
Yeah.
Look at the church in the Middle East. Look at the church in China. Look at the church in the early day. Look at the early church when it was under the thumb of Emperor Nero,
mm-hmm.
where you had Christians being used to light his garden parties. What was it doing?
And then he threw them under the bus. Too,
yeah. Yeah. Because he blamed them.
Your God is you say that your God is a consuming fire. So you guys right. technically burned down half of Rome. It's like,
exactly.
Wow, yeah. bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
Solid logical reasoning there.
Exactly. So. Right. But the gospel spreads. Right. And it's done so without locking arms with people that frankly aren't on our team. Right. They're not. And that might sound ungracious and sound, you know, unloving, but I'd rather tell the truth than lock arms in a lie.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I think the church by and large is having trouble with that these days because of how prevalent politics and the culture is placed in front of our eyes. We get saturated with it instead of being saturated with the world. Or excuse me, with the word. We're saturated with the world and we should be saturated with the word.
Yeah.
Right. I think we're seeing the issues of that right now.
Yeah. Part of it too is just the way that we look at certain things. I think a lot of buzzwords get thrown out there in our day. And like I said, it's all an algorithm. If I throw a couple buzzwords out there and it fits the algorithm,
hashtags.
The algorithm is going to start coming to me and hitting me.
Right.
To where I look at certain content, right? Mm. I was doing this in kind of like a more nerd way this morning. I was looking at who filed because we just went through a period, I think last week, and where if you want to run for public office in the state of Washington, you have to file at a certain deadline. So I think it was like May 6th through the 10th was your filing date, and May 10th was like that cutoff. So I'm scrolling through the people, I'm just seeing who I have to keep my eye on, right?
Yeah.
And then on top of it, because it's going to be a primary, I think, in August, and then the general is going to be in November, right? So I'm looking at all these names and stuff like that. Surprisingly, there's a lot of independents now. There's a lot of independents that have more conservative values, but they'll basically say, hey, I don't want to be shackled to a political party because that political party will basically force me to do stuff that is not my conscience.
Sure.
And that is, it's kind of like a vignette for what we just talked about. Like, are you going to join something that's going to force you to do something that is not of your conscience, but you have an opinion about certain things?
Sure.
So, yeah, I just think part of that is just the nature in which we're in right now. And
you're going to find that in any political party.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
There's no political party that's going to perfectly reflect the values of Scripture.
Yeah.
Because that's not what Scripture was made for.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So that's I think part of the issue is that I think we're raising it to a level that it was never meant to be raised in, instead of being very careful with who we follow as Christians, making sure that we are not getting distracted by civilian affairs, things that this world wants to tell us and try to convince us through news networks, through social media, through podcasts and blogs and all these things, that this is what's most important. This over here, this is the thing. This is the thing that you should be thinking about. This is the thing that you should be posting about. This is the thing that you should be listening about and learning about. This is what should take your time. My friends, it's never what the culture tells you should be doing. Never. All right. It's not that it's a bad thing to be informed about those things or to, you know, form an opinion, but it has to be through Scripture and it has to be in the context, I believe, of the local church. We can't just be lone wolf Christians out here, man.
Yeah. On top of that, too, we saw recently where I feel like people were actually starting to think within their local church kind of lenses on. There was a guy who made a thread that basically said, pastors and
and preachers to follow. Yeah. And it had John MacArthur's face on it, and then it just kept threading to these are the people who you should follow and blah, 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 blah. And I retweeted a response that was sent out by a guy named Ian Harbor, where he said, it's like, he goes, pastors and leaders who you should follow. And then it had the thread thing. And then the next reply to that is like, your local church pastors.
Right, right. Yeah.
Because, I mean, it is true. Like, if all you listen to, granted, and I've had conversations with people in my local church about this, you know, we could go on YouTube.
Well, and there were some solid guys in that list, too.
Yeah.
We could go on
YouTube and find the cream of the crop.
Yeah.
Preachers and teachers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And listen to them all the time. Sometimes you are not going there specifically to a local church to hear the best preaching ever. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, granted, for me, I feel like it's been the preaching that I've been hearing in my local church now has been considerably greater than what I was used to.
Sure.
In certain regards, primarily because a lot of biblical theology is used in it, a lot of exposition as well, too.
Mm-hmm.
So part of that is that, but it's just the fact that your local church is not primarily there to just feed this like me and Jesus time together.
Right.
It's you and your whole family, your whole brothers and sisters together.
Mm-hmm.
Surprisingly, mm-hmm. this was also like another kind of funny thing lately is like the meme that I sent you, Josh, today about expository preachers, and they're like, oh, happy Mother's Day. Anyway,
here's the text. Yeah.
Here's the text for today. Ryan Wood got thrown under the bus on that one because he's one of my pastors, and he was going through. He had to preach on the Council of Jerusalem.
Yeah, great Mother's Day text. Great Mother's Day text. Yeah.
Honestly, dude, though, it was great because he talked about gospel assurance versus gospel doubt during that time. So
that's awesome.
A lot of good that came out of his exposition there. But it's just, do you go to the local church? Do you agree with things in order to get community? And sometimes, like Josh said, behind that community is something that is lurking that you probably, this is not something I want to be a part of.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
there's things attached to that. If you go into that, and that's what I've kind of brought up a little bit. And when we deep dive out of this kind of conversation, out of these kind of episodes where it's more conversation based, right? It helps us to understand that at the root of things, people aren't really wanting to go protest or counter protest Gaza or, you know, Gaza supporters or anything like that. What they really want is some sort of community.
Is
trying to hear them out to a certain level.
Yeah.
But the problem is like if you have heretics that you're trying to seek refuge with, that's probably not a good recipe for you growing in any kind of way of life. Let's be honest about that.
No, absolutely. I think people want to feel like they're part of something bigger than them. I think that idea of belonging is it's a really big part of the conversation. And yeah, I think people want community, right? And we're going to look, I mean, we see we see unbelievers seeking community, right? We see them doing it in all sorts of places, right? And political activism is a big one, especially now, because there has now been a moral aspect attached to it. Right. Your morality is dependent on whether you are for Gaza or for Israel. Right. And that's the big thing right now. Right.
Yeah.
But for Christians, that community is supposed to be primarily in the local church, which is not primarily political.
Mm-hmm.
It has political implications for sure. Right. But it is not a primarily political community. It's a spiritual one. It's a family. It's one that is under the authority of Christ and his word, of which we should be subjecting ourselves, our actions, our thoughts, our speech, and our activism under.
Yeah, if anything, yeah. If anything, it's like almost like this weird underground political resistance.
Yeah.
Because you are subjecting yourself to Jesus.
Oh, of course.
And he is the King of Kings. And there's some political, to a certain degree, right? I don't know about Jesus coming back to just interact with us and just try to choose a winner for our next presidential election.
Oh, goodness.
I don't think that's going to happen. But to some degree, I mean, back in the day, back in the early church, when people said Jesus is Lord, it was very much a political statement.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because if you did not, and I guess this is coming back to also our culture and where we're going towards, because a lot of Christians back then, if they didn't participate in public events, feasts, festivals, in the Roman pantheon of worshiping the gods, and then also confessing the genius of Caesar, they're going to be looked at as atheists, mm-hmm. right? They're going to be looked as people not to be trusted.
Yeah.
And now we're going more towards of, if you don't participate with this, then you're this.
Yeah.
So you're starting to get implications of, well, if you don't do this, then you're this. But in a very weird, different way that I don't think, you know, the pantheon of the gods isn't necessarily attached, but it's more like, we'll just shun you or something along those lines.
Sure. But. Sure. Well, yeah. And, you know, I think that's a good place to probably wrap the up too, is that when we have this mentality, Jack, when we have the local church as our primary community, whatever happens this November, it changes nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It changes nothing. Christ is still king. The earth is his footstool. His enemies have been crushed underneath his feet. He reigns as a supreme king and savior. And this world is not my home. I am passing through. I am a vagabond. I am a sojourner. I'm an alien passing through this Vanity Fair on my way to the celestial city where my king sits enthroned. That's what's reality, right? And I have this community around me of believers that are walking with me on this same path. And we're called to commit to one another and encourage one another, right? And convict one another and be a part of each other's lives. As we walk together toward heaven, we become more and more like Christ as we walk together. That's the point. And when we get distracted, right? When you get distracted by the things of this world and the things that are trying to tell you, hey, this is important, you should care about this, you're that Christian that leaves the fold and starts walking off the path. Let's go check out this pop-up stand. Let's go check out this pop-up stand. Oh, this is kind of shiny. They've got some cool tchotchkes over here. Let's go check this out, right? I smell churros. Let's go find the churro stand, right? We know how it is, right? It's easy. Deep-fried Oreos? Yes, please. I will stand there, right? It's easy to do. And that's why you need your people around you to remind you, Josh, you're doing so well. You don't need deep fried Oreos. It's going to ruin, like, you're doing great, dude. Keep going. Okay. Seriously. Talking from experience. Hey, dude, I know you're really on fire for this guy or this movement, but let's not get distracted. Let's remember what's the most important. And it's the people around you, the people in your local church. All right. So commit to that. There's nothing better to commit to. You're a sojourner in this world and you're a soldier in the army of God, and soldiers don't get distracted with civilian affairs. So let's keep marching. Let's keep walking. Let's make the local church central. And we will do what the church is supposed to do. And that is make more believers on our way home. So those are my thoughts.
Yeah.
And now I want a deep fried Oreo.
I know, right? Jeez. Ugh, oh, man.
Jack, why don't you get us out of here so we can go record some episodes for the Patreon.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if you appreciate the forest fires that I start with just my little match.
It's true.
Little matches that I just shoot out every now and then.
Little fire bug you.
And if you want to actually throw us a line and give us episode ideas that you have or that you think about, you can follow us on the sociables to do that. You can DM us, ask us questions. Like I said, give us episode ideas from there. You can follow us on the Facebook, the Metaverse, if you will, the Instagram. Goes well with chocolate and marshmallow for these upcoming summer nights coming up. And then also the sociable, formerly known as Twitter, X, the always constant dumpster fire that is. Yeah. You can follow us on all of those sociables at the tag at Reformatory Pod. Josh, you can tell the lovely people how they might hear about us resurrecting Reformatory Reviews.
Oh, that's right. Oh, I forgot about that. Yes. Oh, I forgot
for
about
what
that.
We did, for what we did on last Thursday.
So Jack and I went and saw a movie last last week sometime. We saw the new Is that what it was?
Yeah. Okay.
We saw the new Kingdom of Planet of the Apes. And if you want to hear our thoughts on that film, you're going to have to subscribe to the Patreon. That's what you're just going to have to do for $5, for $5 a month, right? We have an all-access Patreon that we submit all of our bonus eps, and you get this ep free, stuff like that, for $5 a month. That's all it is. We also have YouTube. You can subscribe, like, comment, subscribe, ring the little bell for notifications, share this episode with a friend, like and review this on Apple Podcast. And if you do all that, more specifically the Patreon, you sign up for the Patreon. There's the link in the description of this episode. If you do that, our pledge to you is that your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. That is our pledge to you. We thank you all for listening, and we will catch you on the next step of the Reformatory. Oh, let's go!